Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, January, February 3rd. We're already halfway through the year.
What do you mean, here we are? But the hearing jokes again?
Yeah. And I say I can't use the word hear anymore.
No, not at all. I can't hear out of my right ear, barely at all. I got this something called cochlear high drops.
Yeah, if anybody knows anything about it, besides what Andrew already knows, send him an email.
Yeah, this is terrible.
There may be a specialist out there listening
to
the show.
Could be. It's possible.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of dentists.
Really?
No, I don't know that for a fact.
We got actually a lot of designers and all that. I had actually last week, and I'm going to mention this on the Discipline Investor show, but last week I contacted someone. I think I told you about this, and I said on Twitter, hey, anybody know anything about how to do a vector on from a Photoshop file? And sure enough, we got somebody that the Barn Owl.
The Barn Owl?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, he helped out.
Good.
Yeah, it was awesome. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on in markets. Looks like Greece is now backing, just like a week after this guy is put into office, backing down on leaving the Eurozone. At least that's what's in the news. Talking about something about these, we don't want this egregious interest rate. We don't want to have to pay this terrible debt that somehow you put on us. You know, it's not our fault that we spent too much, right? So what we want to do is we want to swap some of the bonds that we have, and maybe we'll make these GDP-linked bonds, which is kind of interesting because GDP is put out by the government, right? So let's say that GDP expands dramatically, and therefore there's a lot of money in the country and the economy's doing real well. So therefore, I assume what will happen is that the bond interest rate will go up in that kind of situation, right?
So, I don't know how they have it worked out, but I guess.
But what's interesting is I would think that, you know, as slippery as they are in Greece, that maybe, you know, they'll kind of try to keep their GDP down so their interest rates will stay down. I don't know how the Eurozone's going to agree to this. Already there's two sides. They're not going to agree to this. But what's happened is that the Greek markets have really done well the last couple of days, bouncing off a terrible low. I sent you a little image there of the Greek markets. Look at that, up 14% today. And up about 10%. Let's see, it came from the Greek ETF was at, let's call it 10.5, I guess, about 10.5.
Yeah.
Now it's about 13.5. That's a pretty good run in about 3 days.
No, that's great.
Hundreds of billions of dollars came out of the Greek banks already.
Have you looked at the chart on this? Is this like, was that 10.5 like a bottom of something, or did it crack through or what?
It's right there. Do you see it?
I don't see the chart. I don't see anything but just the lines. I mean, did you look at any of the...
The technicals? Nah. Yeah. It's just, it's a W. How's that?
Okay.
You see it?
Yeah, there's a W there.
But, you know, I don't see any particular thing that would hold this up except for investor enthusiasm, dead cat bounce, the hope that this whole thing will be solved. Listen, all these issues are solved within a week these days. What used to take months and months for something to resolve resolves in a couple of days.
Everything's faster.
Everything is much faster. It's like, you know, we have a crisis, we have a financial meltdown happening, and then a week later it's like, okay, everything is good. And that's what happens when you have billions of dollars that's being pushed in by the feds.
But, well, that's what the purpose is.
Yeah, exactly.
The economy lingering, you know, in a broken state.
Now with the Greece potentially staying in the Eurozone, I guess this is what happened. The euro spiked higher. Dollar came down. We also had some negative or at least disappointing news on the eco front. The last several reports from the U.S., we saw that GDP was down. GDP was less than expected. Manufacturing was down. Earnings have not been that great. But here we are with Greece staying in the euro.
But if nothing else, Gina Romani at IBM got a bonus.
Oh, she did. Well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
Well, the euro spiked towards 115 today.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
That was a pretty good spike.
55, 114 and a half.
Yeah, we're long the euro here.
You're long the euro?
Yes, sir.
So you think it's going to go up?
Yes.
Huh.
Actually, our option was up 160% today. Now, it's been down a bit the last few days, but we were adding to it a bit. But that was a nice little run there. Now, oil also had a run, 8% rally last Friday on news that the rig count was down substantially, that all these companies are shutting down their rigs. Remember we talked about this whole idea of artificial supply and demand that these companies...
Yeah, but these rigs they're shutting down are all crap rigs.
Well, whatever it is, we see that
these
oil...
These are the ones that you have to sell. Oil has to be at $75 before one of these rigs pays out.
Well, but what's happening is that they are, in fact, shutting down supply. At least that's the perception of it. Now, tomorrow we'll see the actual inventory data. Already oil is down about 1.5% tonight on the API numbers. Tomorrow the DOE numbers come out. But we saw... Wait, let me see what oil is. Oil is at... 52 and change. It was at $54 today. I think it was 54. Let me see what the high was. Yeah, $54. 54. It was just at 44. It spiked, yeah. And it spiked midday like crazy.
It doesn't drop just straight down.
No. But also I think that the lower dollar helped the situation. You know, the dollar went down as the euro went up today.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Now, President Obama, gotta love this guy. First, he talks about in this budget that one of the things he's going to do, because there's an inequity in here, is that the 529 plans, you familiar with these?
Yeah, that's the ones where you give money to the, put money in the bank for your children's education, and it goes in tax-free.
Yeah, it goes in after tax, grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free. So you put in $10,000, let's say it's a number, after tax, and it grows over the years. Let's say it ends up being $15,000, let's just say. And then you take it out for qualifying higher educational expenses, and it comes out totally tax-free. So all that growth that you had, you didn't get taxed on. Pretty good, right?
No, it's an important thing, although these gimmicky plans wouldn't be necessary if the colleges some years ago decided to begin to gouge the students, forcing them to get student loans. It's terrible.
Well, and also... You know, there are some things that you can spend, you know, if you want to get really trickier, but what if my kid doesn't go to school? Or what if they get a scholarship, right? I mean, you don't need the money. How do you get the money out? Well, you can take like certain things like golf lessons at a qualifying school, maybe cooking lessons, cooking school. There are certain things you could do. And you can pass these.
Yeah. Well, it's still educational.
Yeah, it's educational. It doesn't have to be them. You can actually take it out for you. There's different ways to do it to move money around. Kind of interesting. But that, he said.
Well, the money, the way I see it, the money's already been taxed the way you, I didn't know that, but okay. It's not like a health savings account, which I believe you, the money, or.
Pre-tax. That's pre-tax.
Yeah, I think it's pre-tax. I can't get worked up about this stuff, and it doesn't. It's not going to bring that much money in anyway. If they drop it.
Well, they dropped it. They canned it because there was a big uproar, and I think they're right. I mean, I think this is terrible that they would go after that kind of situation because, you know what? Anybody could put money into a 529 plan. It doesn't have to be just the wealthy. Somebody who's planning for their kids. I mean, for my kids, we had 529 plans. We had prepaid college through Florida. Everything that we could do, we did. Because if we didn't, it would be ridiculously expensive.
Oh, yeah. No, it's out of control.
So, and then talk about graduate school. I mean, Columbia was, I think, for the year, 50,000 plus, and it was a condensed program. So it was 50,000 plus housing. So it cost me like 65 or 70,000.
Hey, I've got a template here.
Yeah.
And a good printer.
Yeah.
And I could print her degree for $15.
Oh, really?
Good deal. Oh, yeah. You know, there would be no record of it in Columbia, but nobody seems to check anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'd be the one that would be caught doing that.
No, I'll print it.
You'll print it. Okay.
Yeah, you blame me.
All right. Okay. So well, she's got the master, so why don't we just go for the doctorate?
She wants a PhD in what?
Social science. No good? Pick something.
Yeah,
else.
No, it's okay. I mean, I can print one up for anything. Or she can go to the Universal Life Church. You can get a PhD from them.
Oh. Very nice. What's the cost of that?
That's, I think, $5. Something. It's probably cheaper than
I can do. Oh, boy. Anyway, so he did.
And it'll be on their records, and they can check.
Oh, that's true. That's even better. So it won't be the Dvorak University.
I got a Doctor of Divinity from the Universal Life Church some time ago.
Really?
I actually met the guy who founded the Universal Life Church went to his house. This is years ago, obviously. Kirby Hensley. And just a character, I have to say. He says, "You want?" I said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I need a minister's thing. That'd be good." He says, "Okay, I got that for you." And then he says, "What else?" I said, "What else you got?" He says, "I give you a Doctor of Divinity, PhD, master's degree in anything you want." And I said, "I'll take the Doctor of Divinity. That would be kind of cool."
So, so what does that enable you to do?
I could put DD at the end of my name, John C. DeVore, DD.
DD.
Doctor of Divinity.
Oh, very nice. Comma DD. Capitals, DD.
Yeah, capitals.
Very nice. Well, there was such an uproar of this 529 plane hoo-ha that they didn't want to fight it. But now it's happening. It looks like they're calling for a proposal to tax corporate monies outside and profits outside the U.S. You know, this whole swath of money that is outside the U.S.
Well, most of Apple's $100 billion is outside the U.S.
Right. So they're looking like they want to start taxing this. I thought the markets would be a little bit more unhappy about this, but I guess the thinking is that there's no way this is going to go through.
That is absolutely the thinking.
Right.
It's not going to go through.
So it seems to me that this is nothing more than a political grandstanding in order to feed the whole idea of the quote-unquote 99% that the Democrats are all for you, so therefore you need to vote for the Democrats next presidential election. I mean, because none of this is going through.
No.
Yeah, so it's the same
thing. It might be jockeying for position.
Yeah. Hmm. Speaking about position, it looks like Radio Shack is being delisted.
Aw.
Yep. It was bound
I was thinking of that as an actual speculation sometime back.
To buy Radio Shack?
Yeah.
No,
I guess I made the right decision not to.
Yeah, that would have been bad. It's too bad that the situation is as it is. I mean, right now we also have a potential merger with Staples and Office Depot. I don't know about you. We talked about this 100 times, but I don't go to Staples or Office Depot anymore. First of all, because when I go there, they may not have the thing that I want. It's so much easier just to buy things online. You just buy what you want, like clothes, shoes. You buy what you want.
You can buy a lot of stuff online. I have gone to Office Depot recently, and there's a remodeled one, which is quite nice. But it's only because I ran out of printer paper, and I needed some now.
Right.
And so I went over there and bought a ream of paper, and then I picked up some gummy bears or something they have laying around, and looked at some other stuff and didn't buy anything. And then I... To fight this online thing, I think the best company to do it is Fry's Electronics out here in the West Coast. Fry's Electronics has a deal they are advertised, which is that if you can show them a legitimate online price of an item that they're carrying and selling, they'll sell it to you for that price.
Hmm. The other thing about online, too, is that if you go to the store, let's say that Staples is having a sale on something one day and you're at Office Depot or you're somewhere else, you don't know that necessarily Staples has that sale. Whereas online, the stuff is right in front of you. I mean, we got word last week that, not to bring up fishing all the time, but that there was these two reels that were on sale. They're selling buy one, get one free. $400 reels. $400 reels, buy one, get one free.
What would you want two for?
Because, it's a matching set. I'm getting finally for my birthday, my 50th birthday, something my father always asked for his birthday, and we never gave it to him. I'm getting a fishing rod with my name on it. How exciting is that?
I can't think of a bigger thrill.
I mean, come on. In the color I want, it takes 3 weeks to make. It's no more expensive than another rod. Custom made for me. No one.
I think that's decadent, personally.
Really? Do you really? But I got the 2-for-1 reels.
Yeah.
You don't think I should do it? You think it's a little bit showy?
No. I think if it's something you want, and it's like you said, it doesn't really cost anymore. It's like having monograms on a custom-made T-shirt you buy cheap in Korea. It's there to, why not take advantage of it? The question is, where do you want to put the monogram? You want to put it on the pocket, or do you want to put it on the sleeve of the shirt? And I talked to some people about this. This is a little off the mark, but it's about the same thing like you with this reel or the rod. The advice is to put the monogram on the shirt arm, on the collar. because if somebody can't quite remember your name and they're shaking your hand, it should be on the right arm, they can look and see your initials and maybe try to figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping them out.
Oh, that's okay, I got you. So what side of the rod should I put my name?
Do you usually fish with somebody on your right side or your left side?
I don't think I have a preference. Maybe I'll put on both sides.
Yeah.
Or is that double decadent? It's $10.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, right there. Maybe right dead center. Anyway, U.S. Economics are rolling over. I mentioned that GDP came in light. Factory orders are disappointing. ISM manufacturing was light. China manufacturing is in contraction again. They came in this weekend with a 49.6. Now, that's good news. Because every single time China goes into any kind of contraction, the markets go flying higher because the idea is, more stimulus. I find this whole stimulus.
So in other words, if it goes down and they figure the Chinese are going to pump more money in, it's going to jack up everything.
Yeah. And I think the China A shares are up like 60% over the last 6 months. They were really in bad shape, and all of a sudden they just started rallying like crazy. And what we're finding is that the Chinese, individuals are opening up accounts like crazy, and they're margining up like you've never seen. More margin on and leverage used by individuals in China than ever before.
Yeah, I think this is their real problem. They haven't gone through a collapse of their markets based on margin. This essentially we're talking about what was stock market was like in the late 20s when people were margin on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what China's going through. You know, when people, Chinese middle class, have owned like 5 or 6 houses, which was housing speculation, which has been going on. I mean, they've built whole cities, I think, just to cater to these people. There's nobody living there. I think that, you know, they're going to have it's going to be very interesting what happens when their economy collapses.
Yeah, I mean, it did collapse once. It wasn't on the weight
But not like, talking, you know, revolutionary. You know, causing riots collapsed.
When there was a discussion by China's Security Exchange or whoever it was a couple of weeks back that said, hey, we're going to start limiting margin. And these company and this company, you could no longer open up accounts on margin. The markets dropped 7% in one day. Well, so that's maybe just a taste of what's to come.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. So the Super Bowl, did you watch it?
Yeah, of course, everybody. They had 116 million viewers, the highest in all of television history.
What was the excitement? Why was this year so much? What was the reason for that?
Well, I don't know either. I mean, it's like maybe it was built up well, or there's some good public relations going on. The Patriots, you know, are in it for the 6th time. It's kind of a record, and the other team is trying to go for 2 in a row, which they should have won. But
that was a bad play at the end.
It was hilarious.
That was a bad play. I don't know why you're in a 2-yard line. Why you think you're going to pass?
No, you're on the 2-foot line.
Why are you going to pass? I don't understand.
You're on the 2-foot line with Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, it was 2nd and goal. They had 3 plays.
Yeah,
they wasted 40 seconds to decide to throw the ball, and that was it was idiotic. It was just idiotic. And then I could go on about this, but I'm not a fan of either one of these teams in reality. I do like I like that there's a West Coast team. And I think Brady's kind of a jerk, but he actually deserves to have 4 rings, and the Belichick guy he really deserves to have won 4 Super Bowls, just like the Chuck Knoll.
Did you see when they panned on Paul Allen after that play?
I was watching it, but I never saw it. I saw them pan on Paul Allen after that crazy catch.
Right.
You know, where the guy caught the ball, he bounced off his stomach and went in the air.
That was great.
That was great. And that was the giveaway that they were blessed to win the game.
Right.
It's like, how could they lose now?
Right.
And then they shot to Paul Allen, and Paul Allen looked like a mental case or something. He looked like he didn't know what was going on. It looked like he needed a nurse.
Yeah, well, and then at the end with that last play, he was just mystified at what happened? What happened? I don't understand. What happened?
He doesn't seem to follow it very closely. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, did you watch the halftime show?
Yeah. What's her name on the Katy Perry on a fake tiger and a bunch of balls changing colors and the Pepsi logo somehow getting in the act. And I didn't think much of it.
Really?
Like, I don't like people that go out there and mouth, you know, lip sync to begin with.
I have a question about the lip syncing. You may know this. So they're lip syncing, it seems, right? And all of a sudden they say something, hey, how you doing? Whatever, you know? How you doing, Phoenix? It's Super Bowl. Do they know when to turn the microphone on exactly?
No, I think they keep the mic live.
They keep it live and they just lip sync it, and then when they want to say something, they say something.
They may have a switch on. That's not a bad idea, but I don't think that those mics, that's a SM78, and generally I never see the switches on those things.
Maybe it's on the bottom. Maybe somebody knows.
Maybe somebody, I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought it was good. When she started going up in the air and flying around on that little feather thing, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was okay.
It wasn't as great as the Beijing Olympic opening.
Oh, the Russian stuff was good, too.
The Russian was good, yeah. I thought Beijing was just outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was, you know, it was what it is. I don't even see the point of it.
Well, here's some bad news. You know, there's something called the Super Bowl indicator. You know,
I'm very familiar with this. Yeah, now, how many times, the Super Bowl indicator is that if the AFC team wins, the market goes to crap.
Right.
And if the NFC team wins, the market goes up. How many times has this been true? Do you have a graph showing
it? I could look at this.
I don't believe it's 100%.
Accuracy, we're going to look at this. Accuracy of Super Bowl indicator. I'm sure it's going to be defunct here, debunked. Super Bowl indicator, definition, Super Bowl indicator, free. Super Bowl says routine, Super Bowl bullish or bearish. Super Bowl indicator, oh, geez. 80%. What I have here from Investopedia says it is 80%. Oh, I hate whether you could continue to the site. They always put something in front of it. Some poor schnook has to pay for this ad that I clicked on that I just don't even look at.
80%. Well, the way I see that game is that Seattle should have won, and that will account for the I think they should have won, and by all accounts they did win, but they lost because of one bonehead call. That was I agree with people who say I got a kick out of it. It was like the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. And for it to happen at the end of this game just was kind of funny. I thought it was funny.
It says that there's an 80% accuracy. Remember the old maxim, correlation does not imply causation. In 2008, despite the New York Giants and NFC division winning the Super Bowl, indicating a bull market, the stock market suffered one of the largest downturns since the Great Depression.
Yeah, okay. That right there just tells me this indicator stinks.
Yeah. There you go. Debunked only here on DH Unplugged. Let's see what else we got here. Chipotle. You know, I was recently... Have you been into a Chipotle? I know you don't like it, but have you been into one of the stores recently?
I have never been in a Chipotle. I've looked inside from the outside, but I've actually never taken foot and put past the door threshold.
Well, the trick is to do a phone-in order or use an app to get your order and just go right to the front of the line and get your order when it's ready versus standing in line.
Okay.
I was in a store the other day, and I was amazed. It was not only packed, it was out the door.
And why?
I was like, I don't know. I think you buy a sofrito and you get a burrito or something like that.
I better go taste this before I start shooting off my mouth. But this type of, I suspect that this is a slightly tasteless style of Mexican food, which really takes away from what Mexican food's all about.
I think it's defined its own style of food because it's tasteless. I mean, you put whatever you want on it, make it taste it however you want. I put a lot of spicy stuff on there. But, you know, first of all, they're not selling pork anymore, which is what I liked. One of the things.
What is that? What's that all about? That's what Mexican food is.
I think it has to do with the there's a couple different reasons. It had to do with something about the cleanliness and something about pork and something about some bad pork. And I think it also has to do with the inhumane treatment of pigs, hogs.
Find a place that does it right then. I mean, there are humane treatment of hogs here and there, but pork and Mexican food, carnitas, which is one of the greatest dishes in the world.
Yep.
It's pork. If you have most tacos like El Pastor, a barbacoa, all these different kinds of prepared meats are all pork. So they're taking pork out, so it's only carne asada and chicken?
Yeah, chicken and beef. And it's at a third of their stores. Let me just see what this is. I have an article that just came up here. On a third of its stores, it stopped selling it, and some of the reason is due to a problem with the supplier. after suspending a flyer that violated standards. Violation concerned the housing for pigs. I guess they want them in nice old condos. Chipotle demands that suppliers raise pigs in humane conditions with access to the outdoors rather than in cramped pens. Now, when I grew up, there was a place in New York, downtown in Long Island City, that was a slaughterhouse region, slaughterhouse section. You go there, and my friend's father always wanted to take me there. He's like, you want to go to the slaughterhouse? I'm like, not really, but okay. They used to take it into, you know, the way they would kill a pig was just to whack him over the head a few times to kill him. So I think that was probably something that has been changed a bit. But I guess in New York on some of the doors, this was last month. In New York City on Tuesday, a sign on the door of Chipotle said, sorry, no carnitas. Serving meat doesn't...
They just need to find some other suppliers. They can't run a Mexican restaurant without carnitas.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other stuff is just the chicken and the other things are just, I mean, most Mexican in Mexico, if you go, you're gonna get pork. That's what you're gonna get. That's what you want.
Yeah.
So anyway, the sales of the company, you know, don't forget the company's been on a rocket ship higher after last quarter's earnings. Sales missed estimates, but EPS beat. Stock was down about 5 or 6% after hours. Their margins were worse. Which is really interesting because they raised their prices. Remember that? That was a big issue. They raised their prices. And still, the revenues were lower. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, they must be on the cusp of overpricing their product.
It could be. They did a lot of research and you know, they were going on and on about their same-store sales were going to be better and this and that. They're looking for same-store sales that are in the single digits. And I guess that just didn't really impress people with the price. This is a very expensive. I think the valuation in terms of multiple is about double McDonald's.
That's too high.
Yep.
And what does the store make? Well, what's the income from a store?
Oh,
average.
I have no idea. I could look that up. Average revenue per store Chipotle. The top quick service division is Mexican, much like Walmart, $1,840. What does that mean? That's not right.
No.
Average 12 months. Oh, 2 million.
2 million a location?
That was in 2012. Here's how. Average sales ranking of restaurants, and they compare a bunch of them. So let's see. Let's see what we got here. What do you think? Number one, oh boy, this is scary. This is so scary. Starbucks, $13 million.
$13 million a store?
That's what it says. That was as of 2013.
That's outrageous. That's not possible.
$13.1 million. Taco Bell, 1.4. Burger King, 1.2. Wendy's, 1.1.
Wait, it goes from $13 million to 1.4?
Actually, the second up is, can't believe this either, Panera, 2.5. 2.5 million.
So it goes from 13 million to 2.5 million.
That's what it looks like. Technomic is the one that does this. So let's see. Technomic sales per store. Let's see if we can find out if there's anything else here. Press release. Okay. June of 2000. Let's see if there's anything newer here. Chick-fil-A leads stores among QSRs. What's a QSR? Quality? What's a QSR?
I don't know. What is a QSR? That's what we got here. I'm going to get on.
State of the pizza industry. Let's see here. QSR. Quick service restaurants, maybe? Quick serve?
Yeah. Quick service amongst quick service restaurants.
Okay.
Fast food.
Here's a Newswire. Fastest Canadian. Oh, boy. Canadians. Panera is 17 million. Sales growth, 18. Unit growth. Ranked by percentage. Constant. 17 what? 17, what does it mean, 17 million?
I have no idea. Should say, it seems to me.
Doesn't seem to say it here. Store, USA, U.S. U.S. food industry forecast. Food industry, academic, say the pizza industry, pizza power. No. In the news, small breweries are opening up like crazy. Chick-fil-A leads them in QSO. Average sale per unit. wonder what that one is. That could be average sales unit. Let's see what this is. Chick-fil-A. Okay. Okay. Per unit. What's per unit?
It must be per store.
Number one is Chick-fil-A. This is 2010. That's bogus. That's in QSRs anyway. Starbucks per store sales. Let's try that and see if we come out. Starbucks. With average revenue in 2011 of 1 million up from 2000. Something's wrong with this.
All right. Well, we'll look into it later.
Yeah. But that's pretty impressive. Okay. So from a listener, Bill, he sent me an interesting article about a new drug. It's an Israeli startup. Supposedly, quote unquote, shaking up things for chronically constipated people. It's now recruiting people for U.S. clinical trials. A company called Vibrant has developed a vibrating pill that is meant to enliven backup bowels. Here's how it works. Constipated individuals swallow the pill. The pill, whose vibrations are controlled by algorithms set by external devices, migrates to the large intestines. Natural, what is that word? Peristaltic activity is induced, generating a spontaneous bowel movement.
So it's like you got something living in there and your body decides to rid itself of whatever it is.
Yeah. The 7-year-old startup owned by a number of private investors as well as the founders.
That's actually a funny idea.
Yeah. You got to shake it up. Move it around. It's got to be something weird. I wonder if it's reusable. Oh, gosh. I mean, is it something that you have to, like, it's a one-time use kind of thing?
Maybe if you put it in the dishwasher, it'd be okay.
anyway. Okay, we mentioned that Staples and Office Depot are possibly merging. Oh, this was interesting. So I was looking to Barron's tonight for some story ideas and some things that we could talk about, right? And something struck me. Look at this other attachment that I sent over to you. This is part of a snap of the full page, the front page of Barron's.
The pigs are in pig heaven?
No, the next one down.
Sponsored content?
What's that? What's that?
Native advertising.
So they just shove it right in there. They market sponsored content.
Yeah.
And give it some kind of so now they're paying. Now they're getting paid to put advertorials, if you will, got under the guise of stories and headlines that are not.
It's been going on for years.
Not like this, though. This is pretty blatant.
Oh, no. It's worse than this in the New York Times and other places. They don't. You figure out that it's sponsored content, you have to kind of look at the byline and kind of extrapolate.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. Barron's gone to hell.
It's the only way the online business. I wrote about this, in fact, a little bit about this in PC Magazine. The column will run tomorrow. It's the only way these guys can make money. I figured it out. I said, you know, I think it's abhorrent. It's terrible. It's crappy. The public doesn't need this sort of aggravation. But these guys aren't going to be in business if they don't allow this and just put up with it.
Hmm. So who knows what you're reading right now? If it's if it's stacked in one person's, it could have been the same thing by a Barron's reporter writing something. But this is just, I think, even worse.
Bypass the reporter.
Just get rid of the news. Just don't even read the news. That's the point. Now, Disney's getting closer to an all-time high. Investors like the earnings tonight. Seems like they hit on all cylinders. Cost of the parks not bothering anybody. And content with ESPN and all that's doing pretty well. So Disney and this Frozen movie, or this Frozen, what would you call that? The animated series plus all the things that go along with it. Man, they're making some serious bucks.
Yeah, Frozen.
Did you see it?
No.
I haven't seen it.
I think there was a couple of them. I think I saw the first one on HBO or tried to watch it. I thought it was, I didn't like it.
I can't watch animated films. I just can't do it. Although I did like Despicable Me. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was humorous.
But the rest of these I don't really like so much. China's first budget carrier, Spring Airlines, is considering seeking permission to have passengers stand up during flights in exchange for a lower price. That's got to be very uncomfortable.
It's like standing up in a bus. They figure, well, people stand up in a bus.
Yeah, but a bus is 10 minutes. A flight could be 4 hours.
Yeah, well, This is true.
It's being done by a carrier in Ireland. What is the name of that carrier? They have been doing this for a while now. I don't think it's going to really take off here, so to speak, in the U.S.
No, you'd only take that one of those flights if you had to.
Right. Standing room. I mean, what do? Strap into like a you know those carnival rides where they go in circles and you stand up the whole time and you're strapped in. Is that how it's going to be? Kind of like that? You're in like
You'd be strapped in.
Strapped into like a metal stretcher. That would be. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do that, you know, you could strap. Just go all the way. You go to your strap-in spot.
Yeah.
And then you push a button and you go, and it actually lays you down. So you're laying down. Now you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And then another guy gets in, and then he's laying down just on top of you. And then another one on top of him.
So you like stack people.
Stack four up and down, and then you could really load a plane up.
Sounds uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Biotech is still hot. Canadian drug maker Valiant Pharmaceuticals, who was on just a tear of buying up other companies, that's what they do pretty much, is in talks to buy Salix Pharmaceuticals. Their stock dropped off a cliff for some time. And then also British drug maker Shire, which was in a deal and then went kaput on them, is also interested in buying them. Salix is only up 5% though today. I thought that was interesting. You'd expect on this kind of news where there's two companies possibly coming in that maybe stock could be up a bit more. But I guess not. Now, you know, in the ever-changing and ever-evolution of websites, Bloomberg, who recently changed their site for the better, I thought, has now changed their site again. And I'm just going to ask you, take a look at Bloomberg.com. Go if you're listening out there. Now. Give me your thoughts on this.
Looks like Pinterest.
Horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's this gigantic thing. First of all, we've got a big head of PIMCO. I don't know why they have Bill Gross on the front with PIMCO Fund, had $11 billion of withdrawals in January. I mean, he's not there anymore, but whatever. And so it's gigantic. It's the entire page, right? And then you start going down, and there's just pictures everywhere and video smashed everywhere, and who knows what you want to read. Is this supposedly
easy? It's one of the new styles, yeah.
Do you like it?
No. I don't like a lot of this stuff. But I will say something interesting about Bloomberg. They're very aggressive. Now they have, I guess, control of a radio station around here, so it's all Bloomberg all day. And today I was listening to it, and they had a big promotion for the idea of podcasting.
Ah, there you go.
Podcasting is up 18% in listenership.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And as soon as they ran the article, I said to myself, self?
Yes.
Why don't we mention the people at the Podcast Awards? I think nominations are still under. Is that right?
Good point. Yes, I think it is. You go to podcast. I'm going to go there right now, as a matter of fact, myself. Podcastawards.com. Awards.com. Let's see what it says. Podcast. It's February 6th. Oh, you better get on it, guys. So go over to podcastawards.com. And for the People's Choice and maybe the Best Produced and maybe it's comedy. I don't know what we are. But in business education, put the name of their favorite podcast, which should be DH Unplugged, The Disciplined Investor, or No Agenda, or something of that. Put those in there and vote, please. Nominate. And once you do so, then they're going to put this all together. And then they're going to come out with a list of the top in those categories. And then you could vote on the top one and we win. What do we win?
A trophy.
Oh, there you go. I think we've been nominated almost every year.
Always get nominated. I hope it happens again.
Yeah,
we never win anything.
No,
that's because we don't have the right listeners that own bot networks.
Oh, that's what we need.
Yeah,
yeah, we need somebody.
Guys who win, I'm sure that's what's going on. There's no way that a couple of these guys are better than our shows.
Yeah, some of the shows are kind of lame. I mean, you know, they don't have good
sound. Yeah, I went through the awards last year and I went and listened to all the shows. And I'd say only about half of them are really any good.
Hmm.
And I know there's other podcasts that don't get nominated that are better than some of them.
Hmm. Well, everybody, make sure to go to podcastawards.com. It seems that if we're nominated, maybe we win. We get to go to meet you in Las Vegas, the Westgate Resort and Casino on April 14th.
Yeah, it used to be the Hilton.
That'd be exciting.
Apparently, they now have the world's biggest sports book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because some of the sports books there are just enormous. Wynn and a few others. who actually came out with earnings today. You know, it looks like Las Vegas is really hurting for casino revenues.
Yeah, well, I think the economy, I've never gotten a perfect correlation between what's going on in the economy and what's going on in Vegas. Vegas. And I don't know, I'm just always suspicious about Vegas numbers anyway.
Yeah.
Because they got so many secret rooms, and so they're supposed to generate so much money from these rooms that
for the whales
in there, the whales, and all the rest of it. And I don't know.
Well, it used to be a lot of fun. You go there and you play a little bit to give you a buffet and all that. Now it's like everything's counted, and you have to use a card, and you have to, oh, sorry, you're $2 away from getting a free meal. Like, just give me a free meal. What's your problem? I'll come right back and gamble. I'll go somewhere else if you don't like it. Listen. From the couple of stupid items on the list here, there's a pilot of a small plane who was taking selfie pictures with a cell phone on a series of short flights around Colorado Airport in 2014 before he crashed.
Yeah.
And killed himself and a passenger. So the investigators found that the reason why was because he was doing all these selfies. Probably not a good idea to be texting and doing selfies when you're flying a small plane.
Apparently not.
I don't know. And in Florida,
it's like the people that fell over off the cliff, taking selfies.
God, a little further. Down here in Florida, Florida wildlife officials are opening a new front on the war of on the invasion of snakes. They're recruiting the general public for python patrols, teaching them how to.
You've got a python problem down there all of a sudden.
I haven't. I don't know what. I haven't seen any. I don't want to see any.
No, they get pretty big.
I have these ducks in my backyard that are annoying, these ugly ducks.
Ducks.
Oh, we also have these, although I haven't seen them lately, we have iguanas, very large iguanas.
Huh.
And they're a nuisance. They obviously have taken too much of that vibrating pill all over the place.
There's poop everywhere.
And it's nasty. It's not like a small little, it's a giant reptile poop.
Can't you do something to shoo them off?
Yeah, they're illegal to shoot them. Or to kill them.
Legal? They're legal to shoot?
No, it's not legal to shoot. Otherwise, everybody would be shooting them. You can't kill them. If you trap them, supposedly another guy will take his place. They're very territorial. One goes, another one comes. I haven't seen one in my backyard in a while. I did buy on Amazon. There is some kind of a repellent that is natural. I haven't used it yet because I haven't seen any. But if they come back, I'm gonna use it. Six more weeks of winter, Punxsutawney Township there. It seems like 6 more weeks of winter is another one of those things I don't think it was proven very well, but they make a big deal with the hats and all that. And finally on my list, I need you to look at this. Is this real? Everybody's seen this. This is, click where the click is, the little button that says, is it real? This is the Green Label, how do you pronounce it? The Secret bracelet that turns your screen into a touchscreen? Turns your skin into a touchscreen? Have you seen this video?
No, I haven't.
I think this is a hoax.
You think it's a hoax?
Well, it's this little bracelet that you put on, I guess. Okay, and what happens is, if you look at this video real quick, and just scrub through it and maybe grab it. And what it does is it takes from, let's say, your iPhone or whatever your device, and it projects the screen onto your wrist. Let's say, as an example. And then you can type things, and you can, it's like kind of virtual keyboard, and it, you can swipe and do all sorts of things in there. But it seems to me that the way they're showing it, that, especially when they go sidearm deal, can you really type on something like that and really scroll? And it seems like your finger, you could pinch, you could do all sorts of things.
It's very funny.
You think it's true?
Well, I'm looking at the angle of the projector. It's a Pico projector. And it has obviously a keystoning algorithm so the thing could be square instead of the way it would normally be, which would be a mess. But I don't see how you can get the wide of an angle close to the bracelet itself, I think it's bull crap.
Yeah. Here, video of the working prototype. Click here. I'm clicking.
See, the problem is, again, it's the optics. If you look at the Pico projector, it goes almost immediately out to about, looks like, 2 inches.
Right.
And then it maintains the same ratio all the way down the arm. No, this can't be right. I'd have to see one in person to believe that you could actually make the...
Well, why don't you, it's a French startup,
work that way.
It's a flick of a wrist, it turns on. You see how it turns on too? You just, oh, here's something about, go to 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
2:05.
And this.
205, 205. Hold on.
See that? So you can go to greenlabel.com. I think it's, let's see if that's everything on, let's see if this is Green Label. Green Label Live, Green Label Chicago. I don't know what this Green Label is. You gotta go green, you gotta find this Green Label wrist thing. We'll put a link on the website for this. You gotta see this. You really gotta see this. It's very, very cool.
I'm not buying it.
Something's not right, right?
It's funny.
Yeah, well. Yeah. It would be great. It would be great. First of all, you only have one hand you can use. Right? Because the other hand is you're holding it up.
Yeah. I like the way the touchscreen works, too. It's done as a one-dimensional because it makes the assumption that if you put your finger someplace, one of these little beams is stopped.
Right.
And I guess it reflects back, or there's some radar aspect to it, so it has to be bounced back because it has to know the distance to your finger from the beam,
mm-hmm.
Which you can do in different ways, but I'm not no.
Yep. So I don't know. This is
it's cute though. I like it. It's a funny gimmick.
Video
and show. I like the promotion. It's fantastic.
Well, let's see. It comes equipped with an embedded memory card, LED light for notifications, Bluetooth compatibility. It's compatible with only Androids, it looks like. It's a Pico projector utilizing miniature proximity sensor display, an exact replica of your phone screen on your wrist or forearm. 10 colors with both 16 gig and 32 gig storage options. Going to be a little bit of functionality. It's waterproof. Cost about $400. And it's set to hit the market in about a year and a half.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the stocks, why don't we?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Moving over. Okay, this is just a game we play. As I always say, we're looking at some ideas, some sometimes crazy ideas on what we can buy short or long the short or under, go the double and maybe go the triple and all sorts of different things we do with crazy ideas. But some of them work out pretty well. But this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. The names that we mentioned, stocks that we talk about, should be fully explored with a financial professional before you invest. Let's take a look here. Still holding on to the gains on the ones that we did at the mid last year. Still holding on. Zodius, 32%. American Assets Trust, up 30%. GoPro short. Now, GoPro's coming out with earnings tomorrow. I believe it's tomorrow night. So you're up 41% on that position.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yep. So we'll see what happens here with earnings that are coming out. We put in a short today on that position, actually. We actually started a very small short on the position. 55 was the number that I was looking for. It got right close to it, and I put a little small position, ever so small, just a starter to have it in there. Monster Beverage up 18%, Fleer up 5%, IBM up 2%. IBM just can't go down. Just can't do it. Even though it has terrible earnings, even though it has falling revenue, even though, it just doesn't do anything.
Well, this is not going to be the same way forever.
No, I would think not.
This is it's dead money right now, the way I see this. It's short. So you're just paying for whatever it costs you to borrow the stock. But this can't last.
I would tend to agree.
It could go on for months or years, but it can't last forever.
Yeah. LinkedIn is down 6%. The short of the short of the ProShares Ultra Short Oil and Gas is up 11.5%.
That was good.
Cass Medical down 6. The oil up 22%. ProShares double oil, UCO. And the rest of our stuff isn't doing well. FXCM.
Well, it always at the beginning never does. I mean, we're always a little soon to the party. We're just a couple of, although I have to say FXCM.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whose stock was that? I don't remember.
That was mine. But
done.
Actually, that may be, it's done. It's stopped out.
That was a penny stock anyway.
Yep. Triangle Petroleum up about 2.5% today. It's off about 1.5%. Interexon Corporation down 1%. I have one that I'm coming in with today.
Okay.
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Shake Shack.
Yeah. It's a little lowest place.
Like a song.
This is an IPO that came out last week, up about 120% on the offering.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
64 stores in total. 64. planning on doubling to maybe 128. Woohoo! Valuation enormous. And this stock comes
Dairy
out.
Dairy Queen.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
What's different about these guys?
Well, everybody likes their hamburgers, but you know what? They're kind of voting with their taste buds rather than their knowledge base of finance, I think. Now, this is the kind of thing that can go up for a while and everybody gets excited about it and it moves around, just like Pollo Loco did, but then eventually it comes down. Now, whether I'm too early on this is yet to be seen, but with the Chipotle numbers that are out, we should see a little bit of a downstroke on this at least. It has come down a bit from the IPO level, but and again, it's tough to short IPOs. Oftentimes they come out, they do really well, everybody starts taking their profits.
Stock to get, yeah.
What do you got?
I got one idea.
Yeah.
Might want to look at that. I'm going to do this. There's no reason not to. It's a very conservative bet.
Mm.
This is BK.
Burger King.
No.
It's BK.
Bank of New York Mellon Corporation.
Oh, is that what it is now? Mm-hmm. Is that what the symbol is? What were they buying it? What are they doing?
Yeah. It's this guy.
It's a guy.
Again, dealing with the inside. Now, here's how I'm going to give you what it's done. This guy's got a lot of money. Now, he didn't put a lot into this, but he put $10 million. This guy is Edward Garden. Now, Edward Garden sold off. This is a guy. This is the life, by the way. Edward Garden sold off just recently. Let me get back to this page I'm looking for. Just recently sold off on January 26th. He sold off Family Dollar stores to the tune of $456 million.
Hmm.
And it's on an uptick, so he's selling what with strength. I don't know if it means anything about Family
What's this guy's name?
Edward Garden.
Edward Garden. He's not on the board.
No, he's just a big splurger.
Mm.
He also sold, the next day, he sold another $880 million worth.
Hmm.
So then the day after that, he bought Mellon Bank.
So he took the money out of that and put it rolled in.
Well, he didn't put much in. It's just $10 million compared to he's sitting on, $600 million cash. And he's bought, some Mellon Bank for some reason.
Hmm.
And I think a guy that does this kind of dealing is probably worth following. Probably doesn't have his head up his ass, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me look at his history. He's in and out of a lot of stuff. It's funny. No, this is pretty cute. So he sold Family Dollar stores on the 26th, then sold like a whole bunch, and then sold some more, like another whole bunch, another 180 on the 27th. On the 30th, he found some more, and he sold 500 shares.
Oh, really? What is that little thing sitting there?
So he picked up $456 million and $180 million and then $38,000.
Little extra. You all right?
It's very funny.
Okay.
Let's see what else he's got. Now, here's some of his stuff. He's looks like he's selling Wendy's.
Oh.
The Wendy's company restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold a bunch of that. And he sold a bunch of that apparently last year, quite a bit of it. No, he bought it. He was buying it, buying. And then he sold it. Didn't make much. And then sold it again. January 15th and February 25th. I guess that was last year. What else has he got? That's about it. He's mostly in restaurants.
Hmm.
Oh, I think he's just putting his money in the bank then. Saying, oh, God, let me put it in the bank. The bank price was low.
Yeah, banks have been the worst performer this year so far.
Yeah, but the Mellon Bank is actually looking pretty perky.
Yeah, no, it's done very well. Bank of New York Mellon. All right. Well, we'll put that on there.
That's not even interesting to the people listening to the show, I don't think.
No.
It's a bank.
It's a bank. You don't know. You could do well with it.
You never know.
You did well with other banks?
Yeah, I've hit a couple of banks now and again.
Yeah. And American Assets Trust was kind of boring to begin with. It's up 30%.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I have no complaints over that. All right. Well, we'll reconvene next week. A lot of, like I said, earnings coming out. We have Twitter coming out tomorrow as well, I believe. I don't know about you, but have you looked at your Twitter stream lately?
Yeah, why?
It's like an advertising stream.
Oh, there's a lot of... Well, as soon as I get one of those, I block it.
You can block those?
You can block anything.
Oh, I have to go do that.
If it comes from someone.
Hmm. So the inline advertising from a particular advertiser you can block?
I don't know. I don't see much of it.
Hmm. I'll have to look at that.
So maybe you should also get AdBlock. It's a very interesting product.
That goes with Twitter?
I don't know.
I only do Twitter on my iPhone.
Oh, that's what your problem is.
Yeah.
See, I'm doing Twitter on the websites.
Oh, yeah. No, I just do it on the iPhone.
Maybe AdBlock's news. I don't know. Hmm. I've been testing AdBlock Plus because there's a... another product, but it only works with AdBlock Plus. But I recommend people at least test it out. It's very fun. It's called Ad Nauseam. Perfect. And Ad Nauseam, working with AdBlock Plus blocks all these ads, Ad Nauseam in the background is clicking on all of them. Like every one. Every ad that shows up, it clicks on it. And then it discards it, but it clicks on everything to completely screw up the databases that try to figure out what you're up to and what you're trying to do.
Oh, that's great.
What you're interested in. You won't get, it's just, it clicks on everything.
Oh, that's great.
So you can't get a bead on you.
And then, for those people that are paying for the clicks, they get screwed on that too.
Yeah, they are.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, they get screwed, and of course, you're not getting any ads anyway because of ad block. But at the same time, if you go to, if something changes and you start getting ads, it's going to be so confused. They won't know what to serve.
I like it. Ad nauseum. All right. Well, I'll put all the information on the show notes. Also mentioning once again to go to podcastawards.com and do it quickly, please. It's going to close down shortly on the nominations for DH Unplugged or your favorite podcast. Otherwise, Disciplined Investor and No Agenda. So go from there.
You've Adios. Been listening right, in you. On a conversation Bye. With John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.